Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
You're listening to The Litter Box, a Detroit Tigers podcast, with your hosts, Chet West and Bill Patterson. Here's what's on deck for this episode.
I don't think we had a convincing game in this 4-game set.
If Harris and company think they are smarter than everybody in baseball.
There's no help really coming unless something bizarre happens.
You get sweet bites, you get savory bites, you get hot bites.
Mustache magic, Bill. That's what we're going to call this one. So we had a 4-game set here with the Toronto Blue Jays, and we're actually recording as the 4th game is wrapping up, and I don't see an end to the Tigers scoring in this one. The runs are coming out of them at a fast pace at this juncture. The first 3 games were the abysmal result we've seen, well, since we got back from the All-Star break, and today, in game 4, it's like the team took an X-lax and just loosened everything up because the runs came flowing out. Even Benetti is screaming on the broadcast here in the 8th inning, just let it all out, boys. He's all into it. I mean, they've been waiting. You can imagine calling these games on a daily basis. And you got an offense out there that's just producing nothing and finally blows up after all that time. There's a little relief there. I'm sure there's a little relief for those guys in the dugout, too. I will say, the offense doesn't put runs on the board. We put pressure on the pitching. We end up with these results. It's not shocking. I don't think we had a convincing game in this 4-game set up until the 8th inning of today in the 4th game. Bill, what did you see?
Actually, I disagree with you. I don't know that today was all that convincing either, quite frankly.
I said up until the 8th inning. I said we didn't have a convincing game up until today's 8th inning.
I'm still not convinced. Max Scherzer struck out 11. Our offense is offensive. And unless there is some type of overhaul, which we can get into in a minute, I am not convinced that this team can make any headway or damage in the postseason unless there is a Herculean effort by one Tarek Skubal, meaning he's going to have to be Oral Hershiser 1988. He is going to have to be one of the Giants pitchers in one of their 3 World Series wins going every 3 or 4 days pitching to the eighth inning and then or seventh inning and going from there. This offense is it's offensive. It's terrible. It's there isn't enough here to make an American League Championship Series. And I think my bigger thought is I've heard mixed reviews. I've read a ton on this. Some say what Scott Harris is doing is working. And that is my question for you today and our question for the listeners. Is it working? And do you stand pat on this? Or are you more in my camp and say, this is the best that Zach McKinstry is going to be? This is what Parker Meadows is. Javier Baez is Javi Baez again. This is what he is at this stage of his career. They've been so fortunate to get what they got out of Gleyber Torres. And again, some people love him, like my co-host. I mean, Torkelson, I still think is a bust for a first-round pick taken where he was taken. So I don't mean to come in hot and a bit negative, but I just don't. I don't see any magic coming in the playoffs with this squad, if they make it, which they should at this point. But who knows? So I gave you a lot there. Retort.
Okay. Well, I'll give you a retort. First and foremost, I'm going to ask you a question back because I was thinking about this the whole time you went on your rant there. If the Tigers do not make an impactful move at the trade deadline, are they cooked? Are you done?
No, I'm not. I mean, those are two different questions. One, am I done? Okay. No.
Are they cooked? Let's start with that one.
Well, okay, what the definition of cooked is, but I'm just going to, you know, presume a little bit since we're good friends and do this podcast twice a week.
I only ask you because I have to ask myself the same question.
Yeah.
When I go down into the depths, when I'm watching these games. So
rewind a year ago, this team right now is not good enough to beat the Astros. That's my opinion. This team right now could possibly beat the Yankees, but that's, you know, depending on what happens with Aaron Judge.
Sure.
Who's having a career year amongst many career years, but is now on the DL. And clearly we're seeing what's going on right now against the Toronto Blue Jays. And we saw what just happened with the Seattle Mariners. So I guess the only other team that we don't have in there would be the Tampa Bay Rays and Boston Red Sox, and then potentially the opponent from their own division, which I would feel better about. But for the Tigers to play someone like that, that means they're going to have to win at a clip that allows them to get one of the byes. And at this point, I'm not certain that that's going to come to fruition unless we see a drastic turnaround. Again, we saw on-base percentages, we saw on-base plus, we saw on-base with slugging that were career years for most of this squad. And the exceptions being Torres was having an above-average year and Javi was the Javier of the Cubs' heyday year. Outside of that, everybody else is hitting and punching above their weight. And I think this is just a regression to the norm. And without one or two pickups for the offensive side of things, I just know. I think they're cooked. I think they're one and done in the playoffs.
I buy that. And I've been saying that the whole first half of the season when we were playing great. We are treeing off our butts. We are hitting our max. We are hitting our ceiling. A lot of those players were hitting their ceiling for the first half of the season. Everybody wanted to call us the best team in MLB. Everybody wanted to say, oh, they got the best record. It was great. And don't get me wrong, a good team, a very good team. But can they compete with all those other stars out there and all those other teams? We're starting to see what happens when we aren't playing our best ball, when these guys aren't playing their best ball. We need to find some sort of middle ground because even the last week has been pretty darn abysmal. I wouldn't say that they're playing middle of the road ball for these players right now. I'd say they're at the bottom of their ability levels over the past week. So we need to find a middle ground. Middle ground will get us to the postseason, probably no problem. Will it beat those teams? I'm going to say probably not. And I'm going to tell you, you asked me about, you know, what does Scott Harris do here? Or what's the strategy? Or is his strategy working? The more and more you listen in on this stuff, you start listening to the talking heads, you start listening to the people that are out there talking about the Tigers, including us, the more and more you start to realize, A, I think the front office feels like they're playing with the house's money right now. I think they feel like their plan is working and it's ahead of schedule. Last season shouldn't have happened. Okay. the Tigers probably should not have gotten to the postseason, and without an epic Twins collapse down the stretch, they're getting there.
100%. Okay? Yeah.
We rode a little magic. We got a postseason berth. It was great. But we shouldn't have. Probably shouldn't have. This year coming in should have been last year where we were like, okay, we're going to get a postseason berth now. I don't think we'll get very far, but we're going to get there and see what happens. And then next year would have been the year when it was all systems go. So I think we're a year ahead. It's not an excuse, though. I still think Scott Harris does sort of owe it to this fan base, even though I don't think he feels this way. I don't know how many front offices really and truly do. Like, they have a plan. They stick to their plan. Everybody says, oh, the window's open. The window's pretty big with this team. They got a lot of prospects coming up. We have the top two prospects in baseball right now. They're both guys who showed up in spring training and did pretty darn well against other major league competition. We got other guys coming up. The one wild card is Skubal. How long do we have Skubal? Are we going to waste this effort by Skubal? It's possible. I mean, we wouldn't be the first team that kind of burns up a good pitcher, starting pitcher. They walk, yet we still advance on, go to the postseason, possibly win a World Series. The window isn't going to just shut and then everything goes dry, is what I'm saying. Everybody wants it to happen now, though. And I just don't think Scott Harris in this front office, I don't think they're going to make big moves. I think it's very understood at this point that they're going to make some very subdued moves, maybe add a bullpen piece, maybe one bullpen piece, maybe two bullpen pieces, maybe a starter if it comes cheap. I don't think they're going to deal from that top 5 to 10 prospects. I think they're going to hold off. They're going to grab a bullpen piece to just do something, just to get something in there to help a little bit. They signed Luke Jackson this past week,
loaded the bases.
Yeah.
And allowed a run.
He's out there for a reason.
You've got Bo Bichette up with the bases loaded, 2-2 count, two outs. This game's not over.
What's the score?
Well, it's 10-1, but it's 10-1. Not over. It's not over.
One more out. Okay. But it's a cheap option that he took to get Luke Jackson. Do I think that Luke Jackson is an answer? No.
No, he's a
Why are we signing guys like this off the street? I don't really know. I think they're trying to catch lightning in a bottle. Maybe they think the pitching coach can help. I don't know.
Well, hold on. He's a skinny Carlos Hernandez, or skinnier. Okay. I thought you'd like that one. And then two, does Scott Harris think he's the smartest guy in the room? And if he does, that worries me for the fact.
He needs to.
Well, I don't know that he is, though.
Or he needs to think that he's got the smart guys in the room to help out. I mean, he's not doing this in a vacuum by himself. There are other people making decisions.
Yeah, and it's now 10-3 with men on first and second. Still two outs.
I said the bullpen would blow it in the eighth today, and then we jumped out and scored a bunch of runs. I thought Hanifee was going to get it up after Bo Bichette got that hit.
Here comes AJ. I don't know if it's going to be a talking to or if it's going to be the hook.
Luke, it was fun, but you're done.
I like that. Good rhyming and alliteration. Yeah. So, you know, I don't mean to come off a little harsh on it, but if Harris and company think they are smarter than everybody in baseball, here's the thing. How many times have we seen teams with great farm systems and top prospects, and then the prospects never blossom? My point is the window's open now. If the farm system is as deep as we are told it is, and everybody that is smarter than us, meaning people that do this for an actual living, not just a hobby. Sure.
Yeah.
Is saying that the Tigers have this generational talent pool in the minor leagues. There's got to be expendable talent there to get you over the hump now. My question to you, though, is, are there so many holes that were exposed these last 2.5 weeks that are we better off trusting Scott Harris and company? Maybe the Tigers limp to the finish line. Maybe they don't win the division, even though they really should, and limp into the playoffs somehow. It is an 89-win team, and, you know, we'll roll the dice and see what happens from there. I just feel like that coupled, let's just say they do make the playoffs, it's an early exit, and Skubal pitches through the All-Star break / the trade deadline next year, and hypothetically the Tigers make the playoffs and have an early exit next year. Are you, as a lifelong Tigers fan, satisfied with that, given that their last World Series championship, not appearance, but World Series title was in 1984? I mean, we're talking 41 years at this point.
Right?
I mean, this is... It's,
I just don't think, I mean, then we can volley this back to ownership too. Like, what are they giving Harrison Company the ability to do? Is Chris's deal spend the money and get the horses? Or is Chris saying, no, we're going to build from the foundations of our drafts and our, you know, our youth, and we're going to build it up through that. And we're not going to go out and sign these big, huge contracts or these long extended contracts. Or we're not going to dump our farm system out there just to get rent guys for a couple months.
Now, we're talking to multi-layers here, Chad.
Sure.
So let's talk about this. One, what do we know that's fact versus fiction? We do know that Chris Ilitch has been groomed by his mom and dad to, you know, Mike and Marianne, to take this over. Ilitch Holdings has all sorts of things. Obviously, the biggest portion of that is Little Caesars Inc., which enabled them to buy the Detroit Tigers, which Mike, his father, was a Tigers farmhand. A lifelong dream of his was to be a Major League Baseball player. Mm-hmm. Instead, in Garden City, Michigan, he opened up Little Caesars Pizza Treat, and now it's one of the biggest pizza franchises in the world. The other part of it is, let's borrow a little bit from the Red Wings, you know, which is also owned by Ilitch Holdings and has not been very splashy since Mike Ilitch passed, in terms of being able to sign good veteran free agents or making moves for impactful players. And my fear is that Chris is going to manage this like a business, which he was groomed to do, in profit and loss, and not as a fan, which Mike Ilitch, I think, did in his latter years.
I 100% agree with you, and that's what I'm trying to tell you.
No,
I think Scott Harris was brought in because he specializes in building through draft and through the system and not going out and signing free agents and not going out and making big trades. I think he's brought in because he wanted to build things up from the ground. And that's how they want to do it. It's cheaper, Bill. It's just cheaper.
Well, and given the state of the...
And a lot of teams operate this way.
In the state of the division, the White Sox are basically waiting for their owner to say enough's enough and either pass on or sell the team.
Uh-huh.
The Twins are in a state of flux. The Pullets have that team on the market. And then you've got the Guardians, who have always behaved much like a small market team, even though they've run won. They haven't won at all, though. They have the longest World Series drought. Yeah. Of any team in Major League Baseball. So I don't know that there's someone we...
And that may be the lesson to take away from all this.
Yes.
That's as good as you're going to get running a team this way.
Bingo. You nailed where I'm going on the head. Okay. Is that, can we be okay with the fact that the Tigers might rip off 8 of 11 AL Central titles in the next 11 seasons and still fall short? Kind of like the Twins in the late 90s, early 2000s. You knew the Twins were going to play the Yankees or the Red Sox or the A's every year in the playoffs, and every year they would get swept or win one game on the road. They would never win at home. And that was that. And they utterly dominated the division. And I still have, you know, as you do, copious amounts of White Sox fans that can't stand the Twins for the fact that they would win the division and then do nothing with it, which somewhat reflects in the American League Central. And I also still sit here, Chet, and just struggle with the fact that the Royals are the most recent World Series champions. After that, you go to the White Sox. After that, you go to the Twins, and then you get to the Tigers. And mind you, if the Cubs don't pull lightning out of a bottle, you know, the Guardians/Indians might be the most recent World Series winner. So I struggle on which path we want to go. That being said, I am still scarred by 1987 and the fact that John Smoltz went on to have a Hall of Fame career with the Atlanta Braves. He was a local kid from Lansing and was traded for Frank Tanana, who ended up going 8-0, got the Tigers over the hump, and got them against the Minnesota Twins in the American League Championship Series. And then the Twins, you know, did what they did and went on to win the World Series, and the Tigers, it took them 21 years to get back, or 20 years, excuse me, to get back.
So your point of bringing that trade to the conversation is what?
I think we probably need to be careful what we wish for, And though I'm emotional and I'm a fan first, I have to think that Scott Harris is probably on the right course with this. And I
think
Chris Illich is going to run this like
I have to admit, I thought you were going the other way.
When I see what's out there,
it's you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't right now, right?
The other thing is they're not Suarez at third base away from.
No, they're further than that.
Winning the World Series. I mean, that would take so much lightning in a bottle. I know you already used that, but you know, I mean, so much luck, so much good fortune. That would take Scooble standing on his head. It would take Jack Flaherty pitching like he did today, which, by the way, I do want to give Jack Flaherty kudos. I didn't think he would be the one in this four-game set against the Blue Jays to, you know, use a hockey analogy, you know, goalie stand on his head and actually pitch seven strong innings and get the Tigers out of this, but he was. And so I am going to say that Scott Harris and company know what they're doing. And you and I have teased this for the last.
This is a fascinating turn of attitude in this podcast, because I swear you are coming out on the opposite foot. I think what you are coming out with, and I think your feeling is probably one that's very similar to a lot of other Tiger fans, at least sensible Tiger fans, and myself included, is you're frustrated at the situation itself. You know that the Tigers can't empty the freaking
war chest
and go out and buy players. We have to build from ground up. You know that there's nothing in this trade deadline that's worth trading for. There's no help really coming unless something bizarre happens. Like I said before, I'd love to have a podcast where we're talking about something that happened that was incredible because we totally didn't expect it in the trade deadline. I mean, again, we can't machinate what that might be because we don't know what it could be. But
loyal
the names being bandied around out there, none of them excite anybody.
And loyal listeners know that we both have flexible jobs. If a blockbuster happens, you will hear about it in fairly real time. So that being said, yeah, I'm doing a 180. I just wanted to play both sides of it, though, because, you know, my fanaticism says go, go, go. The window's open. We don't know. I mean, if you'd asked me last season, even though they were the hottest team in baseball, would they go to Houston and do what they did at Minute Maid Park or the Juice Box, whatever we want to call it? I would have said no way.
No. And yet, they weren't going to, but they did it.
They did. And that's why we love it with sports who they got. So much.
I don't think they're sneaking up on anybody this year, though. Last year, they snuck up on people a little bit. I don't think they're doing that this year. I think teams are prepared for them now. That said, if they get back to at least middle ground in their levels of ability and performance, I think you'll see an uptick in just the general attitude or aura around this team based on what it's been the past couple of weeks. People are going crazy right now because they just watched their team overperform so well, so much over the first half of the season. I mean, did you see the bit? I don't know if you saw this because I think you had jumped on here before I did today to do our little recording. But did you see in the eighth inning, they were talking about the mustaches that the guys are growing, which is a beautiful thing. We're going to get to the mustaches here in a minute. I'm not going to let
that go. Motown mustaches.
I'm not letting that go. We're going to talk about the stashes because I love it. But did you see the bit in the eighth inning? You may have missed this or not, but Dirks made a comment. You're allowed to have fun. Look at that.
I
had a little fun. Things improved. Do you know what that's actually, I think that's actually in reference to? Did you hear what happened on 97.1 this past week?
No, what happened?
You ever listened to Valenti and Caputo and those guys on 97.1?
Yeah, but Valenti's on vacation.
Apparently Caputo was on and just lit Dirks and Benetti on fire. Talked about how he's sick of the act, sick of the humor and their shtick, and said, you know, we don't need to be doing that. This team needs help. They're, you know, going down the tank, and this comedy routine they're doing doesn't do anything for anyone, blah, blah, blah. Kind of. You know, I know they're just trying to have fun in their broadcast, but whatever. Well, Dirks came back today with a, see, you're allowed to have fun. And it does help sometimes. And Benetti started cracking up and it was kind of like, you could tell it might've been a jab back, but.
Pat Caputo better really, really. I didn't hear that bit. I did listen to a couple of days before Valenti went on vacation. I don't like it when he's not there. I respect Rico.
I don't care for either one of them to be dead.
Well, I don't think Rico can
meatheads, but they do what they have to do to get people to listen. So
he can't carry the show. But Valenti brought up the same point that let's see what happens coming out of this.
Yeah,
and you know what? We're only going to know. I mean, again, there isn't any magic elixir out there. The Tigers, in my belief, and Valenti's and yours, aren't one player away. If I can, let's just circle real quick here because you've got something that you want to talk about. So the Tigers did only win 1 of 4. That's disappointing. A couple players are standing out, is not producing. So let's just talk about the good. You know, Gleybar basically got the offense rolling today. Had 2 runs. He went 2 for 4. He had 4 RBIs, a home run. He did K twice. Kerry Carpenter's back. He struck out twice, so he was basically 0 for 3. However, that being said, it's good that Carp's back. He brought some energy today. I don't know if you saw that when he came out. The two guys that I really want to pick on a bit are Matt Fierling, who did go 1 for 1 today and was a pinch hitter.
He had a hit in game one. He had a hit today. I mean, he's, you know.
But he's batting .210 and his OPS is awful. And Parker Meadows is still batting .200 and his OPS is abysmal as well. I just don't think this lineup's talented enough to have two basically automatic outs every time they're up. And you couple that with a Jake Rogers day, you know, Parker Meadows' OPS is .566, and even worse, Vierling's is .532. I know we said let's give these guys true spring training, give them some time. Well, they've had that time.
Yeah.
Outside of last year's postseason in September, this is, I believe, what Parker Meadows is. And Matt Vierling has always been like a super sub, but he has been so far eclipsed by Z-Mac, Zach McKinstry, that I just feel like that's the type of area that I would like to see a J-Hen come back up. I would like to see Javi maybe move back to center field and man that for a while. I don't need to see any more of Trey Sweeney, but I do think when rosters expand, help could be on the way from the minors. And no, I'm not talking about the double A thing. Those guys are nowhere near ready.
Well, it's really a consistency issue, right?
Yeah.
With these guys. Like, Vierling shows that he can be a Major League Baseball player at times. And that's why everybody loved him and thought him coming back was going to make, like, we almost gave him superhero status. Like, it was Aaron Judge coming back to a lineup. We said that this isn't going to be the fix. This is just another role player. And sure enough, that's what he is. I mean, the consistency isn't there. Zach McKinstry, again, consistency. He definitely has a high ceiling and is a great, fun, scrappy ball player to watch play. But he's not through the roof. He's not a year-in, year-out all-star, okay? Javier Baez, the model of inconsistency. This guy hasn't been consistent his entire career. Outside of some flashy snap tags and some decent defense, good defense, excellent defense at times, his bat has been terribly inconsistent. So we don't have a ton of consistency. And when the team's hot, it seems to really gel and be hot all at once, and they seem to really go. And when the team's not, it's kind of like the old Vinny Johnson days at the Pistons. Vinny was either knocking everything down from beyond the arc, or he couldn't hit a thing, and you knew, okay, the microwave is cooled off, get him off the floor. That's what these guys are. Like, they're kind of just, they run hot, they run cold, obviously. And we're in a cold stretch.
So the Diamondbacks are coming up next. I've got two things for you.
Okay.
2 night games, then a travel day game. It's Monday through Wednesday. Then the Tigers get a much needed day off. And one of our more favorite subject matters is to talk food. And I'm going to do that, yes. Having been to the Diamondbacks stadium, and talk a little bit about their local cuisine. In terms of pitching matchups, some of this you're going to like. We got Mize on the bump against Rodriguez tomorrow. And then I don't mean to mispronounce his name, but I believe it's Fad, and against Olson on Tuesday. And then your favorite thing in the world, co-host, we've got Nelson against undecided or to be determined. This has gotten old. So again, that's one of the holes I'm talking about. You need 5 or look at the Dodgers now 6 pitchers to probably get you to postseason and then have postseason success. Yeah. Let's talk about food.
I mean, on the MLB app right now, it shows TBD every day.
Okay, I was getting, so, ESPN's been a little more, believe it or not, more accurate than
they really. Yeah, wow, that's great.
I've been tracking it all season, so because I did go to MLB and I saw TBD, and I was like, okay, that makes no sense. So anyway, let's talk about the Sonoran dog. It originated in Tucson, but is the...
And we are at Copa this week. I know. To declare that right off the bat.
But we're not going to Arizona.
So you're going to give him a food prop, which is great. Go for it. Sorry. Didn't mean to interrupt.
Perfect. Fine. Well stated, and I appreciate that.
Yes.
So what you're going to find here is a bacon-wrapped hot dog. So the dog is griddled in bacon, or sometimes it's grilled, which I cannot imagine the bacon splatter dripping down into the tray on that. I have also heard of it deep fried, but I can't imagine deep frying bacon and getting, like, that would be an art form and a science. Anyhow, it's typically griddled or grilled. The key thing is they're stuffed inside a roll, and it's either a bolillo roll or a telera roll. They're both Mexican-inspired rolls. A little sweet. You can definitely taste the sugar in them. And then the toppings are really what make this thing so special. Pinto beans, pico de gallo, and I typically hate mayonnaise. I think every listener of ours knows that. But I make an exception for this because it's just a drizzle. They use yellow mustard and mayonnaise, and then they also add gyro chili peppers, sometimes sautéed onions, and maybe even a sport pepper or two. It is delicious and just a complete and total taste treat. It's a normal, you know, 4 to 6 inch hot dog. We're not talking the boomstick.
We're not doing boomsticks here. No, okay.
So you can get one, you know, when you get to your seats. And then if you're still hungry in the fourth or fifth, sixth inning, grab another. It holds together well, even despite all those toppings. It's not as messy as one would think. Somehow, you know, the roll really holds it together. You get sweet bites, you get savory bites, you get hot bites. It's really a taste treat to be enjoyed. And I have to say, I would put it top three dogs in all of the big leagues, if not geography. You know, you got to go Chicago dog.
Okay.
Probably the New York dog. And then the Snoring dog would be my three. Go ahead. You've got questions.
I'm going to throw a thought at you here.
Yeah.
And this is a thought that's entered my mind since we started doing these food reviews across the landscape of Major League Baseball. People have found more ways to dress up a hot dog than probably any other dish that I can think of. I mean, it's not just like one topping. We're doing all sorts of stuff. We're wrapping things in other proteins. We're dressing it up with beans. And also, it's kind of like the chili dog, but the chili dog wasn't good enough or people were tired of it. So they went and said, what other stuff can we throw on a hot dog? Like I said, from day one, you know how I like my hot dogs. So after a while, as an eater, and I consider myself an eater, I get a little tired out from all these different hot dogs. I think I just want my dog bare as a baby's butt in my pocket, and I pull it out and I gnaw it. I eat it like a beef stick, kind of with a bun around it. I don't need all this other stuff, but I bet it tastes good. Well, I bet it tastes good.
Here's my thing.
How could it not with all that wonderful stuff on it?
The deeper question is, I think the hot dog on a baseball podcast shows so much versatility for the fact that it's a handheld device.
It's a handheld, yeah.
That satisfies, but not to the point of like a sub or a hoagie or a big burger. It's not as messy. I agree the toppings, you know, we've talked about cream cheese. We just talked about pinto beans. We talked about boomsticks. I mean, we're going all over the map on this.
There isn't a topping that we haven't covered on. No. I think all the accoutrement has been discussed for hot dogs.
We talked about Old Bay seasoning for crying out loud.
I know. I'm scared to see.
Yeah, I know. So maybe we're going to send that out to the listeners. I've got a t-shirt for someone. If you chime in on this, come up with the most creative hot dog that we don't know about or isn't in big league parks, and you'll find a litter box t-shirt coming
your way.
There's
a guy out there. I want to bring this guy up.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen him on Instagram. He is a new Tiger fan. He's decided the Tigers are his MLB team. He's Chef Reactions, and I don't know his real name, but he's on Instagram. It's Chef Reactions.
Okay.
And he basically does this sort of split screen review. People will post themselves cooking these crazy dishes. Like, I mean, it's honestly, most of it will make you want to vomit. And he'll be on one side of the screen. He's got the person doing their YouTube video or whatever it is on the other side of the screen. And he's just got a running commentary of all the junk they're doing. And it is hilarious. He's fantastic. I would like him to travel around to all the ballparks. He kind of did it at the All-Star game. He kind of did like a food thing, the All-Star game, like the chef, the head chef in Atlanta at Truist had him back there and he was showing him all his stuff, you know, all the stuff he was making. He was really impressed about it. He did a whole thing on Instagram. I'd like him to go around to all the ballparks and try all these hot dogs and give his chef reaction to these hot dogs. I'm going to try and call him out on social media this week and be like, hey, you got to do this.
Good idea. See what he says. I think you should bring us with him. So
I'm curious. I'm curious to see what he thinks of all this, the pizzazz we're doing with hot dogs these days.
So you had one more point to make and then we're going to get off this and hope that better things happen the next 3 days at Comerica Park against the Diamondbacks.
I want to talk about the new Motor City Mojo, which is the mustache.
Yeah.
So we've been talking about the mustache on Jake Rogers for a while here. The guys are all adopting the stash. I mean, there's more lip caterpillar in that dugout than I've seen. It is incredible.
Did you hear Daniela Bruce say that like she didn't recognize Riley Green today? And then Benetti and Dirk said, yeah, how about Torque? And she goes, well, he's trying to grow a mustache.
He's trying. I was like, is Torque trying to grow a mustache? It's like a little taco meat up there over the upper lip, but not enough to really make a difference, right? Riley Green's looks like a gigantic caterpillar just crawled up on his upper lip and is just hanging out there.
He might out-mustache Jake Rogers at this point. Anyway, the best part is Benetti goes, there's no trying when growing a mustache. He was like Yoda. It's either do or do not.
It
was great.
That's true too.
It was great.
And he nailed that. I think even Frankie the Bat Boy's got a mustache going. He's got a pretty thick one for a young guy. So
pretty good. Guess what?
What?
In our text thread, we had people like, I'm not going to drink tequila the rest of the summer. I'm moving off of beer. I tried
to switch to bourbon to get the thing going. You know,
everybody's trying to get the Tigers off this losing streak. I am not shaving.
You're going to do a mustache?
I'm going to grow a stash.
I'm going to let you do that because I look very strange with a mustache. My wife would go absolutely
Are you a little Torque with your stash?
I'm like sort of Torque, sort of just.
All right.
It doesn't reflect well on the family name. We'll just put it that way.
I didn't say it was going to, but my dad has rocked one for years.
That's a permanent thing.
Yeah, he's kind of got the Magnum PI.
It's matured, he's a mustache guy.
Not comparing him to Tom Selleck outside of their first names. I'm just saying stash.
No,
anyhow, I love the Motor City stash mustaches. It's mojo that we need.
Sometimes in the middle of a 162 game set,
yes,
you need something to get the juices flowing again. I think getting back.
Well, I mean, let's go back to like the mid 80s Tigers, 84. You had a really good stash on Jack Morris. You had a really good stash on Peaches, Dan Petrie. Milt Wilcox had a stash and also an early goatee. He was one of the first goatees I ever remember. Lance Parrish had a hell of a stash. Chet Lemon had a stash. Tom Brookins had a stash. Matter of fact, outside of Trammell and Whitaker, that whole team was stashed. I mean, I'm telling you.
They did. We did have a lot of mustaches in the early 80s.
Larry Herndon had a stash.
Larry Herndon had a stash that's to be marveled at.
Kirk Gibson had great facial hair. Yep. So most, Aurelio Lopez had a stash. Willie Hernandez had facial hair.
Yeah.
So it was basically Sparky Anderson, the manager, and then the middle infield that didn't, and that was it.
I love that you just went on the mustache tangent of all our past Tigers. That was incredible. What I meant was we got Kerry Carpenter back. I wasn't saying going back or getting back to a different time. I just meant we got Kerry Carpenter back. And maybe that's, you know, part of this whole guys like seeing him in the dugout. He's getting, you know, getting back into the game. You never know what you send a guy like Trey Sweeney down. Maybe that sends a little signal to everybody like, hey,
we'll see.
The garbage at bats aren't going to work. You got to get it right. So Parker Meadows went 2-for-3 today, 2-for-3 double. Maybe he's waking up. Maybe we're seeing him wake up here. He crossed above 200 with his average. So
either that,
the Mendoza line,
either that, or he knows that he can't grow anything more than a Torque stash.
There's no and way
he's already feeling like what the facial hair requirements are for Toledo.
He might be saying, I better hit or I'm going to need a stash soon and I can't do it.
All right. Tiger fans, grow your facial hair this week. Hopefully
mustaches
the Tigers
for all.
hopefully the Tigers fare well against the D-backs, and we'll be back with you to post-cap that series and talk to you about the next road series.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Litter Box, a Detroit Tigers podcast. Thanks for hanging out with us. We're Bill and Chet. We'll be back soon with more Tigers talk. If you're enjoying the show, be sure to follow or subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And hey, if you got a minute, leave us a quick review. Till next time, go Tigers.